I did not make a lesson tonight, but before I get into the lesson, I'm going to have Miss Trina's going to share tonight. We've had some different folks sharing each Wednesday night their testimony and their story of salvation. And comfortable using mics so folks online can hear you? All right. She's going to share her story of salvation with us tonight.
Like going to different churches and stuff, but I got invited to this church and got to visit, and I started coming, and we had a it was a special speaker. I can't remember if he's a missionary or evangelist, but he gave his testimony of being saved, and it cut to my heart. And going forward that day, getting saved.
Thank you so much for sharing. It's important, amen. It's good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Love hearing stories of salvation, seeing how God works in people's lives. It's a beautiful thing to see. If you got your Bibles there, go to Ephesians. We're gonna jump around a little bit. I did tonight because I had one of those days. You guys ever just have one of those days, right? That's the reason you don't have a lesson tonight, because I had one of those days. All right, so I compromised. That's not the right word to use when you're preaching, right? You never compromise when you're preaching, amen. But I improvised was the word I'm looking for, and so you're going to have a bunch of verses put up on the screen for you tonight, because I have many, and so we'll be looking tonight at faith. We started last week, and we were looking at conversion, and what is encompassed inside of that. Repentance and faith. And we spent all last Wednesday night breaking down repentance. And tonight I want to look at the other side of that, which is faith. We know repentance is turning from sin, turning to Christ, is what we stated out last Wednesday. And today I want to look at faith. And so Ephesians 2:8-9, a verse you're very familiar with. And then we'll go to the book of Romans here in just a second as well. But in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so we see very clearly there, a very clear verse, how are we saved? We are saved by grace through faith. And so we see faith is important in the plan of salvation. We go to Romans chapter 5, and we see the same thing. We're going to be Romans 5, Romans 9 now, and I'll show you a couple other things on faith and how faith is important. Then we'll begin to break down faith and what it is. What is faith and how, and so on and so forth. Romans 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith." The word justified, I break it down in a manner such as this: just as if I'd never sinned, right? Just as if I'd never sinned. To be made right with God, justified by faith. Not by works, not by anything else we do, but by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So where is our faith placed? It's been placed in Jesus Christ, and we have peace with God because of that. And so we see faith is also as we talked about last week, it's the other side of the same coin, right? Repentance is one side, faith is the other. They go hand in hand. As we turn from sin, we turn to and place our faith in Jesus Christ. Well, let me show you where Israel stumbled in Romans 9. If you go ahead just a few chapters to Romans 9, verse 30 through 32, we see where they stumbled. And we've been studying this out a little bit on Sundays, as we've been studying out the Pharisees and the scribes and Judaism and some of the things they held to. Obviously, they held to trying to adhere to the law. And we see here where they stumble. Romans 9, verse 30 says, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith." How are we made right? We're made right by faith. "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone." And so we see the problem there with Israel. Where they went wrong was it wasn't by faith, it was by works, right? They tried to do it in other ways. They tried to adhere to the law. They tried to keep the law, which we know the law was not designed for us to keep. It was to show us our sin. And so now we turn from our sin, and by faith we turn to Jesus Christ. And we see that faith is in Christ, and so, or should be in Christ. And so we see here faith is the other side. So repentance and faith, two sides of the same coin. As in the case of repentance, so in the case of faith, This doctrine oftentimes doesn't receive maybe the attention it deserves, faith. Maybe we don't preach faith as much as we should, but it is a very important doctrine. It's important at salvation. Obviously, it's required. And then it's important for all of our life. We still exercise faith today, at least we should. And so faith is crucial. Faith is crucial. You think about showing examples of faith in your daily life. How do you show faith in your daily life? Not necessarily speaking of your relationship with the Lord in this situation, but think about this for just a minute. Faith is central to a lot of things we do. And I'll give you an example. You go to a doctor. You can't pronounce the doctor's name. He has degrees that you've never verified. He gives you a prescription. You don't know how to read it. You go to a pharmacist who you've never met before. He or she gives you a chemical compound that you do not understand. And you take that chemical home and you ingest it based upon the label on the outside of the bottle. Right? You think about what you're doing there. You're placing faith in something and in someone, right? You're trusting that doctor. You're trusting that pharmacist. And you're trusting whatever's in that bottle is going to do what it's supposed to do, right? You have no idea. I don't know what it all is about. That's putting faith in something, right? That's an example of what faith looks like. We actually exercise faith a lot in life. We see it in many different avenues of life. And so we see sincere faith, trusting, and we see what that looks like there. And so let's look at a couple things tonight. And I'll try and move through some of these things rather quickly. But if you think about faith, and I'll just quickly hit the storylines. We won't turn there for sake of time. But in Matthew 15, think about the Canaanite woman, the woman of Canaan. She approached unto the Lord for her daughter to be healed. And she was very persistent in doing that, right? She was very persistent in seeking the Lord. She was persistent in seeking Jesus. And Jesus honored that, but he did not honor her persistence. It wasn't her persistence that caught his attention, right? She was very persistent. This is true. She was not going to give up on seeking after the Lord. This is absolutely true, but it was not that that caught his attention. He says this. The woman came, and they even told her to, put her away. Remember the story that says, put her away? Put her away. She's bothering us. She cries the more, Lord, help me. And he goes on. He gives her a challenge, and he asks her a question. She responds perfectly. And he says in verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. And then he did what he needed to do. He took care of the daughter. The daughter was made whole from that very hour. What was it out of all of that that got his attention? Was it her persistence? No. Was it her relentless desire to seek after him? No, it was the faith that led, was behind all of that, right? The faith behind all that is what pushed her to do so. We see the same storyline in Matthew 8 with the centurion. The centurion, has a servant that's sick unto death. He says, go get, Jesus is there. Go get Jesus that he may heal my servant. They go to get Jesus. He says, I'll come. He says, no, you're not. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Just say in a word, and I believe it will be done, right? This centurion had great faith that whatever Jesus said, it was going to be accomplished. That's great faith. And we know that Jesus turns that man around, and he says, I've not seen so great faith in all of Israel. And he uses that man as an example of what great faith looks like. The guy said, whatever you say, Jesus, I'm trusting it will happen. He trusted that it would go exactly as it is. You think about the blind Bartimaeus and his persistence as well. It was his faith. A faith hath made you whole. And so we see in multiple stories in Scripture, there's this desire, there's this pushing. Think about the man we studied out that they let him down through the roof, the man with the palsy. What was it that Jesus saw? His faith, right? Not the desire to knock the roof out, the faith that led to all that. What's behind all of that? And so faith is important. The ultimate ground of faith and knowledge is confidence in God. The ultimate ground of faith and knowledge is confidence in God. Faith is trusting in God. It is confidence in God. It is believing that God will do what he said he will do. That's faith. We turn by faith. And so faith is confidence in God. If we have confidence in anything in this world, it needs to be God. Amen? And this world's a mess. I don't trust in a lot of it. You can't trust anything you read or see or hear any more. But I know this, we can trust in God. We can trust in that. We can have confidence in what God says. We can have confidence in his word. And so we see what faith is. It's confidence in God. And so let me run down through a list of the reasons that faith is important. And I'm going to move quickly. I've got some scripture here that my daughter will throw up for us on the screen to kind of help us with this. But there's a lot of things that, a lot of reasons that faith is important. We know that scripture declares that we are saved by faith. So first and foremost, that makes it very important. Amen. That's how we are saved. We know that Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves." And so, therefore, faith is important because it's required for salvation. In Acts 16:31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." The verse I read at the beginning, Romans 5:1, being justified by faith. And so, why is faith obviously important? It's important because of salvation. We need it for salvation. We must turn and put our faith in Jesus Christ. We're turning from sin, repentance, turning to Christ, faith. The two sides of the same coin. And so, faith is important for salvation. We get this, but why else is faith important? The scripture then tells us that you and I are enriched by faith, right? We are enriched by faith. And let me explain. Our life is enhanced by faith. It is enriched by faith. It helps us. Our faith ministers to us. Galatians 3:5 says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" He does it by faith, right? It ministers to us. In Galatians 3:14, it says the same thing. It says we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so the faith enriches us. We are enriched by faith. We are sanctified as well by faith. In Acts 26:18, the very last few words of this, it says that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so we see there that we are sanctified by faith. Acts 15:9 says there's no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Faith is required for that process of sanctification. We put our trust in Christ, and Christ begins that process of making us like him. The Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience, nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. Why do we obey? Because of faith, right? It springs out of faith. And so again, you see the two sides of the same coin. Faith leads to obedience. So we see we're sanctified by faith. We are also kept by faith. 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And so we are kept by faith. Again, just showing quickly the importance of faith. We are established by faith. The book of Isaiah says, "If you will not believe, you shall not be established." We are established by faith. We see this. We walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And I don't know about you, if there's ever a time we need to walk by faith, it's today, amen? You look around, it's confusing. I don't know what all's going on. There's a lot of confusion in our world today, but I know this, God's faithful, he's in control, and he's still sovereign, he's still on the throne, he's unmoved. And so we just walk by faith, right? We just take one step and we move ahead, and faith takes us where God wants to take us, and we just follow him. And so, God is sovereign. If you think about what's going on in this world today, you know, understand this with me. I don't know exactly, one day we'll maybe get it figured out, or God will reveal it to us in heaven one day, but God's doing something, amen? I mean, there's something going on inside of this. I don't know what it is. I'm not a prophet. God didn't, give me that knowledge. He didn't give me that. I don't know, but I know he's doing something. I know he's sovereign. I know he's unmoved. I know he's good, and so I just need to trust by faith and just continue to do what God's called me to do, right? So during these uncertain times, we be faithful. And we know that by faith, God will take care of the rest. We know that all things work together for good. And so there's going to be something good come out of this, right? And there's already been some good come out of it. We've seen some of that. And so we will see how this all plays out. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. We can look around our world today, and sight will create fear. We look to the Lord, and we walk by faith. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. The Christian is a man who can be certain about the ultimate. I love this quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones. Let me start over. The Christian is a man who can be certain about the ultimate even when he is most uncertain about the immediate. He can be certain about the ultimate, the overarching plan of God, even when we can be uncertain about the immediate. I don't know what's going on today. I know God's got it, right? I can be certain about the future and tomorrow, and God's got all this under control. I can be certain about my future. Even though I may not know what's going on today, I know the God who's in control of all things. And so we can be certain about the ultimate even when we're uncertain about the immediate. And so we walk by faith. Well, faith is also important because we overcome difficulties by faith. Several of you in this room have been through difficulties, and faith helped you through those difficulties. Amen? Faith is what helps you. You have a trust and a faith in the one who is able to help us. He is able to be there for us in our time of need. And faith helps us through difficulties. Faith is a refusal to panic. You see a difference. If you ever get a chance to minister someone towards the end of their life, there is a difference between a believer and an unbeliever. The believer has faith, and there's a peace about them because they have faith of where they're going to be. They know what's going to unfold. They know what happens when they take the last breath, and that faith helps them through that difficult period of time. Whereas the unbeliever, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear and a lot of those type of thoughts that run through the mind. And so we see faith helps us overcome difficulties. We know the story, and I'll just briefly hit the story out of Matthew 14. Think about the comparison and contrast of faith and fear. You remember the story in Matthew 14 of Jesus walking on the water. Disciples are in a boat, and they look out, and they see Jesus, and they think it's a spirit. At first, they don't know it's Jesus. So they look out, and they see him walking on the water, and they cried out for fear. All right, they cried out for fear. And Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid." And they are not certain, so, you know, Simon Peter, the disciple with the foot-shaped mouth, he's one that always speaks up first, right? And so he speaks up first, and he says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come onto the water, right? He says, bid me to come onto the water. And what does Jesus say? Come. Imagine being Peter at that moment. I should have kept my mouth shut, right? Now I got to go walk on the water. I should have kept my mouth quiet. And we don't know how far he walked. I don't know. When my pastor was preaching on this passage one time back in Chillicothe, and there's a little fella in our church named Hunter Caldwell. He's actually not a little fella anymore. He's in youth group now. But he was a little fella at the time, probably third, fourth grade, I don't know, somewhere in there. Pastor was preaching on this, talking about Peter walking on the water. He says, we don't know how many steps he took. And in the middle of service, Hunter Caldwell pipes up and says, he took 8. I don't know how Hunter knows that. Maybe God spoke to Hunter and told him it was 8. I don't know, right? We don't know how many steps he took. But we do know this. The Bible does say in verse 29, he walked on the water. We know that, right? And so whether he took 8 steps, 1 step, 18 steps, I don't know. But he did walk on the water to go to Jesus. But you think about what happened. The very next verse, he saw, right? We walk by faith, not by sight. And as soon as he saw the wind, he saw the waves, he saw this, he began to sink, crying, Lord, save me, right? Fear. You see the comparison and contrast. Faith walked on water, fear sank, crying out, Lord, save me, I'm in trouble, right? You see the comparison and the contrast there. And so we know that a lot of difficulties in life, we can respond in fear or faith, right? And the faith helps us to overcome difficulties. We know also that faith is necessary to please God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so faith is important because it pleases God, right? That makes it important to me, amen? And it ought to make it important to all of us. It pleases the Lord. Leonard Ravenhill says these words, if you have the smile of God, what does it matter if you have the frown of men? If you have the smile of God, what does it matter if you have the frown of men? If we walk by faith and we trust God and we have a never-ending faith and trusting in the Lord, and that obviously based on Scripture in 11:6, it says it pleases him, it pleases God, faith does, without it we can't, then who cares what men think about us, amen? I mean, we get caught up a lot in what people think, and that's natural, I guess. That's normal. But we ought to be more concerned about what God thinks and people think, amen? And faith is required for that. And we know that where there is great faith, obviously it pleases the Lord. You think about Abraham in the Old Testament, in Genesis 12, the Abrahamic covenant. In verses 1 through 3, God gives him all these promises. Then he says, go to land, I'll show you. And Abraham, it just says he departed, right? No questions. If I'm Abraham, I got some questions right there. But he just gets his wife, which I'm sure she had questions, because all wives would if you just ever going somewhere. I don't know where we're going. But they just went, right? And the Bible later on says in Genesis 15:6, he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Faith is important. It pleased the Lord. D.L. Moody says, faith takes God without any ifs. Faith takes God without any ifs. If God says anything, faith says, I believe it. Faith says, amen to it. And it's taking God at his word. Abraham showed it in Genesis 12. Abraham showed it in Genesis 22 with Isaac when he took him up on the altar up on the Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego showed it when they would refuse to bow down to the golden image and says, we're not doing it. And he says, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. He says, we're not careful to answer you in the matter. If it be so, we trust that, you know, God will deliver us from it. And I love what it says in the next verse. It says, but if not, we're still not bowing down to your gods. I love that. That's good, isn't it? He says, we're not going to bow down anyway. God can save us. He can deliver us. But even if he doesn't, be it known, we're not bowing down to serve your gods. We're not going to do that. That's faith. That's faith. And God showed up, obviously, in the life of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And so we see these beautiful stories of faith all throughout the Scripture. Now, walking by faith is not always easy. It wasn't easy for Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, Daniel, Peter, Paul, Abraham, and more. You see, sometimes it's challenging, but it pleases God. It pleases God, and that's important. So we see a couple other things about faith. Just as well, unbelief or lack of faith is sinful. And that's something to remember as well. We know in John 6:9, we talks about the Holy Spirit convicting what it will do. In John 6:9, it says, of sin because they believe not on me. Right? You see, a lack of faith is sinful. And in Romans 14:23, it flat out tells us it's sin. Right? Very directly, it says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's pretty clear, right? And so we see the importance of faith, and we see the lack of faith or unbelief is indeed sinful. A lack of faith limits what God can do. Now, church, listen to me on this one for just a minute. If we as a church lack faith, based on Mark 6, it limits what God can do. You think about what happened in Mark 6:5-6. The Bible says he could not do any mighty work there, save laid a hand on a few sick folk and healed them, which I think is pretty amazing. But he couldn't do a mighty work. Why? Verse 6 says, because he marveled at their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. And as a church, as a pastor, as individuals, we limit what God can do if we lack faith. And so faith is important, and for that very reason. We don't want to bind what God can do because of our lack of faith. Amen. I don't want to be in the way of God doing a great work. I want God to do a great work, and that requires me to have faith. And that requires us as a church to have faith. And so we must have a great faith. So we see faith can limit what God can do. It doesn't limit God's power, because God's all-powerful. We don't change that, but we can get in the way. Our lack of faith can get in the way. Faith enables us to be a blessing to others. John 7:38 tells us, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water for the one that believes on him. So we can be a blessing to others. It enables us to persevere in service to the Lord. And I'm just quickly hitting some things here, and I'll bring this to a conclusion here in just a second. But it allows us to be a blessing to others. And we see the importance of faith. A lot of reasons. So let's begin to break down faith. How do we increase our faith? How do you and I increase our faith? It's obviously required for salvation. How do we then increase our faith? We know oftentimes we'll exchange words, faith, hope, and believe, different words for faith. But we need to guard against having a wrong view of the actual word faith and what it means. You think about what hope is. Hope is of something yet to happen, right? My faith is in God, past, present, and future, right? I look backwards and I say, my faith is in God for forgiveness of my sin. My faith is in God for today. My faith is in God for my future. My faith is purely in God, right? Faith is all-encompassing. My hope is of heaven. My hope is of future, right? My hope is ahead. And so we see, sometimes we interchange those words, and maybe we should or shouldn't, but we see the importance of looking and seeing what faith is. Because it's more than just belief, because the Bible does tell us in James 2:19, even the devil believes and trembles, right? And so it's more than just belief. Faith is more than that. So what then is faith? In conversion, which is what we're looking at and looking at salvation, it's the turning of the soul to God. And so repentance was turning from sin. Faith is turning to God. And so what are we turning to? If we turn away from my sin, I realize who I am. I realize what I've done. I'm going to turn away from my sin. Well, who am I turning to? Am I turning to Allah? I'm turning to Jesus Christ. I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ. You turn to God. Faith is putting your faith in Jesus Christ. So we see repentance is turning from sin. Faith is turning to God. Augustine said this, there is no love without hope, no hope without love, and neither hope nor love without faith. No hope or love without faith. So faith is very, very important. So how do we increase our faith? You think about intellectually, how do we increase our faith? One way we do it is intellectually. We know we're called to increase our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Romans 10:17, we must increase our understanding of who God is. The more we get into the word of God, the more our faith is increased. The more I read scripture, the more I invest my time in the Word of God, then my faith is increased. Why? Because the more I see Scripture, the more I realize how accurate it is. The more I realize how alive this book is. The more I realize that the author of this book is sovereign and in control and faithful and all of those things. And all that does is help me to increase my faith. I read the book and I watch our world, and it only says to me, this book is absolutely right. It's accurate. Our world is living out this book today. Amen? I mean, what's going on out there is it's the process, right? And praise God for you and I as believers. For us, it ends at the moment he hits the clouds and we hear the trumpet and sound of the archangel, and amen, the upper taker takes us away. Praise God. And that can happen anytime. We read the scriptures and it increases our faith. And the Bible tells us that. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We know that there is a God. The Bible puts that inside of us in Romans 1:19. And the gospel is how we hear of God and we turn by faith to God. And the word of God increases our faith. And so there's a knowledge, a pursuit of God that will increase our faith. The more we pursue after God individually, the more it'll increase our faith. Experiences increase our faith. The word of God increases our faith. Challenges increase our faith. Trials increase our faith. All of those things help us. And the word of God helps us through all of that. And so intellectually, it helps us too. You think about also emotionally, believing and putting our faith, believing in Christ, not believing just him, but believing on him. You know, the Bible illustrates this. You think about believing him versus believing on him. Like the devil believes and trembles, but yet he's not born again. You think about believing what he said. You know, I can hear a lot of people talk, which we do hear a lot of people talk, and I may believe what they say. I may believe something they did, but I may not believe in who they are. You know what I mean? You believe that what you just said there is right, but that doesn't mean I believe everything you are. Or everything you say, right? There's a belief of what you said is true. But with God, we must not just believe what he says. We must believe who he is. We must have a faith in who he is. There's a belief in who the Lord is. We must be rooted in the truth of who God is. There's many who heard him and believed, but yet they were not in him. They didn't believe on him. John 8:30 says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. All right, so they believed on him. But if you fast forward to verse 45, as he addresses the crowd, he told them, you'll know the truth. Truth will set you free. You'll stick to my word. He goes on. He says, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. There were some who did not believe him, right? There were some who heard and did not. And so they did not believe on him as they should. And so we see there's that believing on who he is. Belief in him and on him. We must believe who he is. There is a difference between some of these things. We're called to believe by faith in and on him. We also think about the voluntary element of us, surrendering to him. And this is where the Bible speaks about in Romans 4:21. If somebody were ever asked me for a verse that defines faith, there's several. Hebrews 11:1 is a good one. There's many there. But Romans 4:21 is probably one of my favorite verses for defining faith. And it says this, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That's pretty clear. God said it, I believe it. That's faith, right? I believe what God said, he is able to perform that. And that's that surrender. That's where we reach that point in our walk, in our faith, where we just say, God, you said it, I'm just going to follow it. I may not always get it, but I'm just going to, by faith, go. I'm trusting your word in this situation. Your word says this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to follow what your word says. It may not make sense. I remember my early days as a Christian, whether it was tithing. I remember tithing was one of the things that I battled with early on in my Christian walk with the Lord. And finally, I was like, you know what? God's word says it. I'm just going to do it. And it may not make sense on paper, but guess what? God never failed me through the process, and God's faithful. Amen. And so we don't always understand it, but sometimes we just need to say, you know what? God said it. I believe it. I'm just going to do it. Right? And that's where faith comes into play, that surrender to what God says. And we know that we're called to surrender to him, to be fully persuaded that what he said he is able to perform. Proverbs 23:26, he says, my son, give me thy heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. He wants our heart. He's concerned about the heart. We know in John 2, he didn't commit himself unto them because he knew their heart. So he knows the heart of men. And so faith is a surrendering to what God says that he can do. The source of faith is God. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. There's a human side to it where we're called to respond by faith. We need to use our faith. Our faith needs to be tested and challenged, and that's a good thing, like Abraham and Isaac, when it was tested and he passed the test. That builds our faith. Trials in life build our faith. You can think back to your own personal lives for a minute and situations in life that you've been in, and God brought you through that increased your faith. That helped you through. And so that exercising of your faith helps your faith. And then lastly is, what is the results of faith? And these are just quick because you know them already. Salvation is a result of faith. We are kept by the power of God through faith. We are saved by grace through faith. And so salvation is a result of faith. Assurance of our salvation is part of that as well. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. That faith in who God is assures us of our salvation. That faith in God's word assures me that I am eternally secure. That is assurance of salvation. And we also see good works is a result of faith. Faith leads us to good works. James 2 spends a whole chapter talking about faith without works is dead. We don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. We work because of our faith. Our faith will show forth in our lives. We know we're saved, the Bible says that in Ephesians 2:10, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So it leads to good works. And faith without works is dead. And so we see the importance of what faith leads to. What's the results of it? Salvation, assurance, and good works. I'll leave you with these few verses. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. Their faith wasn't there. They profess, but the faith wasn't there, therefore the works weren't there. Faith without works is dead. Our faith will show forth in what we do. It'll show forth in our works. My life will reflect where my faith is. If my faith is in money, my life will reflect that. If my faith is in a person, my life will reflect that. If my faith is in a job, my life will reflect that. If my faith is in God, my life will also reflect that. But it says they profess they know God, but they deny him in works. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of all good works. And then in Titus 3:8, he says they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These are good and profitable unto men. And so faith and works are inseparable as sun and sunlight. Faith is the sun, and the rays are good works. It ought to show forth in what we do. And so faith is important. It's clearly important for salvation, assurance, and for good works. We see all the benefits or the importance of faith there that we walk through quickly tonight. And I trust and hope you already have a good grasp on some of that. But a good reminder of our faith, a challenge to walk by faith, a challenge not to be like Simon Peter and have that moment of fear, see the things going on around us and allow that to trip us up in our walk, to continue to walk by faith, believing what God said, that he is able to perform it. Believing that what he said, he is able to perform it. That's faith. And taking God and believing him at his word. The word of God will grow our faith. And so I pray and hope and trust that was an encouragement to you tonight, and challenge of your faith, and where you find yourself with your faith, and the way to increase it, if you don't like where it is get into this. And the Bible says it'll increase our faith. So get into the word of God, and it'll help us through that. Okay? Been good to be with you all tonight. Let's close out tonight with a word of prayer. And you guys have a wonderful, wonderful evening, and good night to you all watching on live stream as well. Hope you guys have a great night as well. But let's close out with a word of prayer. Father, we love you. And God, I thank you so much for this night. I thank you for these folks. And God, I thank you so much for your word. And God, I'm thankful tonight that, Lord, we can put our faith and our trust in you. And Father, you save us. Lord, we come by faith, believing who you are, believing that you are able to do that in which you say. Father, we know that we come by faith to you, trusting you for forgiveness of sins. And you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And God, I thank you so much for that. I'm thankful that we are justified by faith. Lord, I'm thankful we didn't have to keep the law because we couldn't do it. I'm thankful we didn't have to work our way to heaven because we wouldn't make it. Lord, I'm thankful that you made salvation by grace through faith. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that you increase our faith. Thank you for the challenges we face in life that help us in our building our faith. We thank you for that. Even though we may not enjoy oftentimes the things we deal with, we know the backside of that is growth. And we thank you for the challenges we face as well. Lord, just be with our church, be with our people, be with our missionaries, be with all those who are proclaiming the gospel all throughout this land. I pray, God, that you would just continue a great work that you have begun. Lord, I pray you continue to build your church, save souls, transform marriages, transform individuals, turn people, Lord, away from sin to you. Father, do a great work that only you can do. Father, use us in your plan however you see fit. May we be found faithful during these uncertain times. Father, may we as a church just walk by faith, trust you, be faithful, keep it simple, just preach and teach your word and trust you to give the increase. And Father, may we give you all the praise and glory because you deserve it. Lord, just be with our people again that have needs. Watch over them. Lord, I pray you do a great work in their life, their health, and the situations they're facing. May you have your will and way in that as well, Father. We just thank you again for all that you do for us and for who you are. Bring us back safely on Sunday. Pray for a great day Sunday. And looking forward to being in your house yet again with your people. And I pray that you'd save souls even this weekend as well, Father. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys have a great evening. Thank you.